News Talk Saturday.
Joining me now, a totally different change of gears and tone and all the rest of it, is our Ask the Expert slot with Dr. Eleanor Galvin. Eleanor, you're very welcome along. Thanks for coming in. Do you want to move in close to the microphone?
I wouldn't.
Now, every time you come into the studio, queries just fly on the screen, right? It seems to be so many different things that are interesting. A lot of it at this time of the year is things like colds and flus and something in the middle. I'll just get started with, also we have vomiting bug, that kind of thing. So a lot of it's about these viruses. I thought the flu had kind of subsided a bit, but we're still hearing quite a lot about it. It's clinging on.
Oh, it is clinging on. It's been a very long, wet, flu-y winter. Quite miserable.
Is it due to rain cooping people up? That helps the spread, I presume.
I would think so. I would think so. No, there's no more 2 metres apart.
Well, I don't think we're going to be going back there for a while. So let me get through some of these. I've just had a vomiting bug that has gone through my household, children, husband and me. I'm left with a metallic taste in my mouth, drinking lots of water to try and get rid of it and eating basic food again. Any advice? I presume that will clear up, will it? The metallic...
I presume that will clear up, and they may well have had a bit of sinusitis as well. The vomiting bug or stuff goes up where it shouldn't go. You could try using a Neil Med rinse. You can get that kind of saline rinses in the chemist and see if that might help.
It's because your taste buds are just a bit messed up.
Oh, I'd say messed up. Yeah, absolutely. It should pass.
Yeah.
It should pass. It's just quite unpleasant.
Okay. This is one I suffer from. Lots of people do. And you're probably going to say it's just one of those things. But mouth ulcers, they come and go. Nobody seems to know why they're there or what they're doing. You can get various creams and ointment. But is that just it?
No.
Oh, hang on.
Mouth ulcers, if you have persistent mouth ulcers, it can be a sign that you, quite often it is ill-fitting dentures, a little bit of a tooth issue, low iron, which is a big one, completely and utterly sporadic and nobody knows why. And then there is autoimmune disease, and specifically Behçet's, which is a rare autoimmune disease. And one of the first things we sometimes see is people who come in.
But how would you, like, if
very
you,
bad
if you
ulcers.
Get persistent mouth ulcers and you go to a GP, they're probably going to say, look, it's just a mouth ulcer. You know, it's a hard one to kind of take it too seriously, right?
If they are bad and they keep coming, you need a blood test.
And how long they last each time?
Yeah, and they can be quite bad. And they can be quite bad anyway, and it might be a visit to your dentist.
Okay.
But it can be one of those little red flags that we watch out for.
Okay. With another texter saying, I've been diagnosed with advanced osteoporosis. I have medicine to take, but is there anything else I should do? Is it like physio or what?
If you have advanced osteoporosis, you need to exercise. So weight-bearing exercise, at least 30 minutes, 4 or 5 times a week, which is like carrying your groceries in from the car is exercise. But you need to carry stuff and your own body weight, walking, going to some of these sort of gyms where you can do small amounts of weight-bearing exercise, increase the amount of calcium in your diet, and vitamin D, and you'll have be given a supplement for that, a calcium and vitamin D supplement.
But just toughen those bones up
best
you can.
Yeah, right? So dietary calcium and vitamin D supplements, and then also just weight-bearing exercise, and that should help to strengthen your bones. And then you go, keep taking your medicine, and then you have yourself rechecked every so many years to make sure that what you're doing is improving it.
Okay, we also have in the list vitamin D supplements. Is taking them, you know, why should I take them? Or what's the reason? Can I stop if I've already started?
So you should take them all of the year except April to September, because that's when they say we've adequate sunlight. Now, I sometimes don't really believe that.
Okay.
unless you are, say, over 65, pregnant, breastfeeding, children under 5, they should take it all year long. And people with darker skin who won't absorb the minimal light we get should take it all year long in Ireland. So vitamin D is kind of essential for all of us.
And is it wrong to just take it all year and just keep going and just have it as a permanent thing? Or
as long as you're not overdoing it. Mm. Now, it's hard to overdo it.
So under medical supervision.
Yeah. Now, if you were housebound or you weren't getting out much or you were working inside in an office really long hours and didn't see the sun, well, then there would definitely be a case for taking it all year long.
Okay, next one up is a heat rash around the groin area. I mean, maybe the word heat rash at the moment seems a misnomer, but I know what they mean. Do you really need to go to the GP for that, or is there something you can do before you get to GP stage?
Yeah, so you could wear loose, breathable cotton clothes, kind of take tepid showers, dry yourself really well, use calamine lotion, take antihistamines. And if that doesn't work, then it would be probably time to go to the GP. Sometimes people call a heat rash, but what actually it is a fungal rash. And sometimes you might need prescription creams or it's kind of jock itch, do you know? So, and that's fungal as opposed to heat rash, which I would say there's very few people in Ireland at the moment have.
So that person, they probably mean jock rash is essentially.
And then in which case they may need something.
But it usually shifts.
Yeah, all these just dry it. Yeah. Everything fungal thrives on moisture. So breathable clothes, no sweating. and use calamine lotion and take an antihistamine.
A bit like Prince Andrew, no sweating.
No sweating.
Is what he at least he claimed he
I
was
don't
suffering
believe
from.
It.
Yes,
yeah.
I don't believe him. Water. Everyone is obsessed with water and hydrating. Lots of people drink pints and pints of the stuff all day long. Other people are camels and don't have as much. How do you know what your correct level of hydration is? Obviously, when you go to urinate, you can see some degree. But we're all different, different weights, heights, etc. So it is tricky, isn't it?
But you should drink to what your thirst is. And you should make sure that your wee looks kind of pale yellow, straw-like. And then you know you're having enough. If it tends to be darker, if you do an awful lot of exercise, do a lot of manual work, well then, if you sweat a lot, you might need to drink more water. Obviously, people who are doing an awful lot of exercise will sweat more and they need to replace that water. But generally about 2 litres a day. And you remember, food has a lot of water in it as well. So you shouldn't be just trying to force yourself to drink 3-4 litres of water. There's no need for that.
Also, a doctor once told me you're better off to get your water intake in earlier in the day as opposed to drinking big jugs of the stuff at night time.
Oh, God, well, then you'd be up all night peeing.
Yeah, but like to get it done, get whatever you need, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the evening and just then kind of go down the other side, less of it then. No?
No.
Just get it in, is what you're saying.
Just get it in. Don't overthink it.
I'm going to put you and my doctor together in a room.
Don't overthink it.
Eleanor, my baby daughter is 10 months old. She has a very distinctive cough that's not going away. Any idea what that could be?
Oh, it could be anything, but it could be just an ordinary cough. It could be croup. It could be RSV. So like croup, they kind of make it one sort of distinctive cough. RSV and whooping cough are also the causes of coughs. The main thing is if you have a 10-month-old baby, if the baby has a temperature, if it's off its bottle or not drinking, if it's lethargic, then you need to have it seen. Because babies can get sick quite quickly. And if they're not recovering, they need to be seen. Or if they're going downhill, they need to be seen. Because they may need something for it or they may need some assistance.
Okay, so you need to know more. It needs to be to get further. That on its own isn't enough. This one is very direct and some people are going to be squeamish, but that's the point of the slot.
Oh, good.
I've come down with constipation over the past few weeks. I'm drinking lots of water and eating prunes, which presumably isn't working from the sort of tone of the question. Should I get it checked out with a doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, prunes, I would say, are one of the most fantastic superfoods out there.
And they don't look very nice, Eleanor, I have to say.
And prune juice, if you can if you can stomach it, it is as strong as most things you would buy in a chemist over the counter for constipation. But if you,
it's a laxative, is it?
It's a concentrated fruit and there's plenty of other vitamins in it as well. So if you were going to take something to soften up your stool, prune juice would be...
But are other juices good as well? I mean,
nothing
apple
is as good as the prune juice.
You're not going to let us escape the prunes.
Yes, a small bit of prune juice is good for everybody. But if you're having constipation and that is a change in your bowel habit, it doesn't matter whether you're young or you're old, a change in your bowel habit, there's an awful lot of worries about people with bowel cancer and things like that. And I suppose the thing is that you go and have it flagged up early. If you've had a change in your bowel habit, you need to see a doctor and you may well need further investigation. Now, there could be another reason why they're constipated. They might have taken up going to the gym and not drinking enough water.
Yeah, lots of people presumably go, people say, I'm not regular. Yeah. They go through those periods. So it's not all...
No, it's not. But you'd probably want a little conversation around that to see if anything else has changed. Maybe a little blood test to make sure that there's nothing going wrong.
Okay. I'm sleeping rather poorly at the moment. Again, nothing particularly alarming about that, I would say. But this person is 42. Could it be the start of the perimenopause?
Well, menopause is hugely talked about. 42 is a little young for perimenopause. Now, they say perimenopause can start at any age. And indeed it can. But at 42, there's lots of other things that could upset your sleep. Like worries. Worries are the biggest thing that upset people's sleep. But also thyroid disorders. So kind of 40s is an age where your thyroid can go off. Where you probably are busy, have kids, have worries. And I think that's the first thing to look at. Lifestyle, putting the phone downstairs, not bringing the phone to bed with you.
And have some prune juice.
and not 6 glasses of water before you go to bed.
Okay.
I think if you have, you can just have that, think about it. Are your periods still regular? Are there other things that are worrying you? Is it finding it hard to get off to sleep? Are you waking up in the middle of the night sweating? Two different things.
So try a few other things first and see how you get on.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. 42 still is an age.
Quite
people
young.
Have plenty,
for that. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I've seen lots of reels on social media saying that ADHD is very prevalent and is often not diagnosed. How do I go about getting this checked out? So this is somebody who's picked up something on social media and is thinking, oh, maybe, you know.
Yeah, and on social media, you won't get the most accurate information in the
certainly
world.
Certainly not.
And quite often, if you have symptoms of ADHD, like poor concentration and memory and things like that, You could also be anxious. You could also be a bit depressed. So it's worth teasing it out initially with the GP. But I would say it is underdiagnosed. There is a lot of ADHD out there and people who are kind of functioning quite well and will function quite well. And it is important to get referred either to a psychiatrist, a psychologist or a paediatrician if it's a child. And then you can go along the route of medication. But also, while you're waiting for all of that to happen, is to go along the behavioural things about good sleep, good diet, good exercise, and maybe have some cognitive behavioural therapy or therapy where they would help you to enforce lifestyle measures to help it. And that can be as valuable as medication any day of the week. But while you're waiting to see do you have it, it's worth teasing out your lifestyle and things like that to help you so that if you do need medication, that it's an addition, not just something that you'll be relying upon entirely.
Okay, that's very good to hear that. The other one that's coming up, we had water already. We're back to the vitamins again. I have fussy eating children who are constantly getting colds and picking up every bug. Should I put them on multivitamins?
It depends how fussy they are. And there are a lot of kids who are very fussy. It's also sometimes part of neurodivergence in kids who eat very restrictive food. And in that case, yeah, and people might tut at you for putting your children on vitamins and not being able to get the vegetables in them. For some kids, it's just not possible. And absolutely put them on vitamins if they're not eating adequately. And there's no point. Yes, obviously, you try and get your children to eat as broadly as you can. But there are some children where that is not going to work.
And is the concern that their sort of tastes are formed in those younger years? And if you sort of don't, I don't mean forcing the food on them, which would be not a good idea. But if you don't get them to sort of go with the vegetables and the fruit, that you've missed the window. Is that the concern?
Well, I don't think. I think there are some kids out there that you can use your window and you can do all sorts of pureeing and heightened veg and giving veg and all sorts of things. And there's ARFID, which is kind of restrictive eating of sometimes neurodivergent kids, and also the pickiness of neurodivergent kids that will never be corrected by sitting there patiently trying to feed them broccoli and carrots. Now, they might eat broccoli, but that might be the only veg they ever eat.
Yes.
And in which case it is to try and get what they do eat into them, okay, and then what they don't give them supplement.
Listen, very comprehensive. Thank you very much. That's our Ask the Expert, Dr. Eleanor Galvin.
News Talk Saturday.